And our call to worship this morning comes from the 116th Psalm. And I will read verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And this is the word's call to us this morning. Let us pray. Father, indeed, we come to you because you hear our cry. You have touched our hearts and you have drawn us to you. And so, Lord, this morning we gather as your people to worship you, to incline our hearts fully and completely to you, to demonstrate our dependence on you and you alone. So, Father, help us this morning to worship you fully, completely, joyfully this morning, so that you would receive the glory now and forevermore. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, here we are, the first Sunday in August, as we continue on through this most unusual of years. Not a whole lot of announcements that I have. A reminder that Pastor General Hay, the gentleman who was here for our church anniversary, is going to be our pastor for the 16th of this month, so not next week, but the following week. So he will be here doing both the services. So please come out and hear him. He does a wonderful job of presenting the gospel. Just a great guy. So hopefully the church will enjoy having him here again as much as they enjoyed having him here the first go around. Then the other thing is this tropical storm Isaias. What a thing to name it. But, you know, here it's coming. We don't know what it's going to look like when it gets here. We just know that it's heading in this direction. And I put out a note the other day, but I just want to encourage us again as the body of Christ. Be aware of how your neighbors are doing. And if there's a need that arises, whether it's in preparation for the storm that may hit or as a result of whatever happens, if there's a loss of power or limbs go down, things like that, just be prepared to be the hands and feet of Christ and to help out in any way, shape, or form that you can. Certainly, if you have a need, you know, let us know. Let me know. Let anybody else that's here know. If your neighbor has a need that you can't help out with, let us know. I mean, this is what we do as a church. So just recognize that. And if the need arises, let us do what we can to help our brothers and sisters in need. And beyond that, I really don't have any other announcements. So, unless there are other announcements from the floor. Okay. In that case, is there anybody here who can't look around the room and name everybody else? I didn't think so. One of the even with masks, we know who we're looking at. So, okay. Well, then we will continue along. I don't expect this to be a terribly long service, but I do want to make sure that we spend enough time, as much time as necessary, on prayer requests and praise reports and testimonies. For the last couple of weeks, we have been praying per the request of Kay Earls for a young child by the name of Benjamin. She sent me an update today. And it is not a good update. The cancer that's been found in his brain is a rather aggressive type that needs a different type of treatment than they can do at the hospital that he's at. So they're trying to stabilize him and transport him. But that's young Benjamin. So we're going to keep praying for him. John, I know you've got a prayer request for us.
Well, I've got David again. David's my youngest son, 45 years old, and he had a heart catheterization June 25th, and he has to have a follow-up tomorrow. He's had an open heart surgery to replace the valve, and he's finished. But the good news is he's finished 2 years of rehab at Black Bear in Della, Georgia, and Willing Way in Statesboro. He's living in Statesboro, and now working as a teacher for the Boys and Girls Club there.
So one major praise and one major prayer. Okay. Other prayer requests, praise reports, testimonies? Anyone? Jordan?
We have to take Patrick to the vet on Thursday. And he's not going to happy with us, but I just pray that the weather holds out while we're in transit, especially on the boat, because he hates storms, but he hates the boat probably even more. So just so that he's comfy.
Okay. Others?
Can you pray for Franklin?
How's he recovering?
He's doing good. He's going to hand it out. Check him.
All right. Is there anything that needs to get done around the house that he's not able to help out with?
Well, thank you for making your
offer. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, then, it's always good for the church to go to prayer corporately. And it's a short list of prayer requests, so I certainly hope that you will take a hold one or more of these prayer requests and make them your own during the course of the week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, Lord, we are just grateful that you invite us to come before the cross with our prayers and petitions, to leave them with you. And so as your people, we come to you in that spirit this morning. Lord, we lift up to you young Benjamin. And as his cancer diagnosis does not look good, we entrust him to you. We pray that you would hold him tenderly in your arms. And as you give the doctors and nurses who are treating him wisdom to treat him as best as possible, we know that you are the ultimate healer and physician. And so we ask you to be with him and be with his family to provide strength and encouragement as you only can do. Lord, we also want to lift up to you David. We praise you that you have given him 2 years clean and sober, and now tomorrow as he goes to have his heart valve replacement surgery in Savannah, Father, we pray that you would provide direction and guidance and healing through the doctor's hands there as well, that the surgery would go well, that he would be restored to full strength, and so that he can live every day giving praise to you for what you have done. Father, we also just ask that as we look to take our dog Dasher to the vet on Thursday, that would go well and smoothly. We lift up to you Franklin, and we praise you that his healing has gone well so far, that his surgery went well, and that you would just continue to strengthen that shoulder, help him to get back to full strength to be of service. And Lord, we want to lift up to you this island and all who are in the path of this tropical storm that's working its way up the coast. And we just pray for your mercy, for your grace, for your hand of protection on all. May this be something that simply brings much needed rain and does no damage. Something that just reminds us of the power of the weather around here. Lord, I know there are other prayer requests in our hearts and our minds. And as we always do, we trust that you will do whatever is best and right for us. And we thank you for your love. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, well, continuing along then, our scripture reading for today comes from Luke chapter 8, deviating a bit from our Sermon on the Mount series. Luke chapter 8, verses 42 through 48, starting halfway through 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Okay. Well, As always, we have a time in our service for an offering. Plates up here. If you feel like putting something into it, you are more than welcome to do it. If you like to give online, that remains an option at fuabchurch.org. There's a giving page that you can go to through there. But always, 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 I want to remind you that the gifts that you are meant to use so abundantly don't just fit in a plate, but they are gifts that come out of you as you were created and blessed by God and the Holy Spirit. Sister Wiley, would you happen to have an extra offering for us today?
Yeah, sure. Jesus on my main line. Tell him what you want. Tell Jesus. Tell him what you want, oh Lord. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Tell Jesus. Tell him what you want, oh Lord. Tell him what you want. If you want to see your mother again, tell him what you want. Tell Jesus. Tell him what you want.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Well, after that, let's move on to our message for today. And I invite you to just bow your heads in prayer with me as we prepare for this message. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask now that you would just get me out of your way. Pour me out and fill me with your Spirit so that these words would be your words for your people. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our minds, Lord, so that we would hear these words and think on them with your thoughts, and that your Spirit would also be working in our hearts, Father, so that our hearts would be inclined to the things that you love most dearly. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. You know, I felt like this morning I just needed to talk for a bit, because this has been just a really difficult and beguiling 2020. I mean, the things that we're facing right now, it's a time unprecedented in my half a century of being around to have this virus that hits us as a nation, that takes direct aim at those who we should cherish dearly, those who are the older ones in our country, the people that have so much to give and have given so much, and they are the ones that are most victimized by this. But the health implications are felt by all of us. And we then get the economic impact that is once again felt by all of us as we see people who have lost jobs, and we don't feel it as much here because so many people have gone back to work with tourists flocking here to gain their sense of normalcy, even though the rest of the world is still going crazy. And even though our case counts are sky high here, we have people that come, and therefore people have jobs here, but the economic impact is substantial, and people have lost jobs, and people have seen their businesses fold, and they're not coming back. The world is changing. And so we don't yet know the full economic impact of it, but it is substantial. And there is a psychological impact as well, with suicides up as a result of the isolation that this has caused, the mental strain and turmoil. We see this in the abuse, physical and mental, that we're seeing in households where spouses have been forced to stay together in relationships where maybe they would have found some separation elsewhere. We've got these kids who don't know if they're going to school or not, and families that depended on knowing that their children could go to school, that their kids were going to get supervised, that they were going to get lunches, meals like that, that they were going to get taught in a hands-on manner, because some of these kids don't have access to online teaching. Some of these kids don't do well with distance learning, and they need that one-on-one FaceTime, hands-on learning. and the parents who can't go back to work because they have to watch their kids. I mean, there are so many things just associated with COVID-19 that have really hurt our nation. And then all of a sudden we have George Floyd and these instances of racial injustice popping in, and we have this massive come to Jesus moment, if you will, nationally, about places where we have done so poorly and areas where we need to improve. And that's touched a nerve to the extent that it's not just the protests and the pointing out of injustices that need to be made right, but it has then created violence and riots and gross injustices in and of themselves that have taken a legitimate cause and kidnapped it. And now we have this violence raging in various strains in parts of our nation, not helping our dialogue, but certainly taking over the mood of the country. And then we have Tropical Storm Isaias coming on up the coast, making people wonder, are their homes going to be okay? What's this storm going to do? We have these three macro events that are impacting the health and welfare and the psyche of people, certainly around the nation, and particularly in the Southeast Coast now. And in the midst of all of these macro things, life continues on. And John's son is having a heart valve replacement surgery tomorrow. Take away COVID and take away racial issues and take away a tropical storm, and that's enough to occupy a parent's heart fully. Concerned about that. Baby Benjamin with brain cancer. And I know there are people in our congregation who are going through difficult times that on their own would be enough to sink them into a depression. And yet we have all of these things coming together. This is a challenging and difficult time. And we need hope. We really need hope as a people. And so as I was thinking about the message for this week and just reflecting on all that's going on, the Lord brought my eyes to this story of a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years in Luke chapter 8 that we talk about. It's also captured in Mark's gospel and in Matthew's gospel. I just happen to like this version better. To be bleeding for 12 years as a Jewish woman 2,000 years ago was to be declared unclean. Clearly, there's a physical issue going on. You don't bleed for 12 years straight unless there's something physically wrong with your body that's taking a toll in and of itself. But the Jews had this law about cleanliness. And it said very specifically, if you go to Leviticus, you can read all about it, that if a woman is bleeding during her regular monthly cycle, she's unclean for that time period. But if she's bleeding beyond that, she's unclean as well. And to be ceremonially unclean has a couple of implications that are significant. One, any piece of furniture that she sat on or touched was immediately declared ceremonially unclean. And it had to be cleaned. But it wasn't just furniture and clothes, because it was people. Anybody that touched her or that she touched would be declared ceremonially unclean as well. And as we have found out with COVID, if there's a member of your household who has COVID, the thing you do is you lock them up in the furthest away room and you avoid contact with them. Well, the houses in the days of this woman 2,000 years ago weren't like our houses today. And so to be ceremonially unclean from bleeding that you can't stop means you gotta go. This is a woman who would have been exiled from the community because to touch anyone was to make them unclean. To touch anything was to make it unclean. And this woman had spent everything that she had going to doctors, trying to find a cure, trying to get this to stop. And I got to believe it wasn't driven so much by the physical need for it to stop, but by her need to be able to interact with people again, to be welcomed back in, to not feel guilt or shame about being unclean. She just wanted to be welcomed back in. And I cannot imagine what it must have been like for her 12 years into this, broken financially, emotionally, and then all of a sudden, in the depths of her despair, she has a ray of hope. There's this fellow named Jesus. He's been making the rounds, and he has this reputation as this remarkable man of God, a worker of miracles. She may have heard about the speaker of profound truths, may have even heard about Messiah, but I guarantee you the thing that she held on to hope for most was that he was a doer of miracles who could heal the sick and the lame and the possibly even those who bled for 12 years straight. She needed hope. She needed a glimmer, and she heard that he was going to be somewhere near. And so this woman, who was not able to spend any time around people for fear of what she might inadvertently do to them, goes to a huge throng of people, inserts herself in the midst of a crowd because she believes, she has faith, she has a ray of hope that this one man, Jesus, if she would but touch the corner of his garment, would heal her. And so that's what she does. Clearly, there are people pressing in around her as they are pressing in around Jesus. We haven't been socially isolating so long as to forget what it's like to be in a big crowd where you're getting jostled about. I mean, we know what that's like. You can't help it. And she, even though she knows that she is introducing ceremonial uncleanliness to all who would jostle against her, she goes. And she reaches out and touches the edge of his garment. And in that instant, the bleeding stops. To go for 12 years, and as each day passes, you have to be wondering, is it ever going to get back the way it was? Am I ever going to get back to normal? Am I ever going to be able to hug someone again? Any of you had that thought lately yourself? Am I ever going to be able to just come up, put my arm around somebody? To know that in that one instant, she had been cleansed. The problem had been stopped. She was healed. Now, the specifics of ceremonial uncleanliness did not mean that she was immediately ceremonially clean at that point. If you go back to Leviticus, you find that she now actually has to clean herself and stay separated for 7 days, and then on the eighth day present herself in the temple to make a sacrificial offering, at which point she would be declared clean. But the bleeding had stopped, and there was a pathway to uncleanness. She had to have been experiencing such joy in her heart. And then Jesus says, "Who touched me?" I know somebody touched me. One of the other versions, Peter says, "Hey, Master, look around you. Who didn't touch you?" Everybody's swarming in. Of course somebody touched you. He said, I felt power go out of me. And this is that remarkable thing. We're looking for hope. We've got faith that there's a possibility we could be healed. We're looking for an opportunity for normal to return. And Jesus restores normal to her one instant. And she got what she wanted. But Jesus says, "I've got something more in mind for you than just a physical healing." "Who touched me?" he says, and he knows who touched him. And he turns, and the text makes it clear, this woman does not want to be identified. She wants to just sort of make her way out of the crowd if she can, back her way on out. But the text says that she looks around and realizes she can't escape. And so, with fear probably caused by the fact that she knew that she, an unclean woman, had touched this man, making at the very least his garment unclean, and quite possibly him clean, unclean as well. In fear and trembling, she falls before him and says, "It's me." Explains to him what had happened and how he had healed her just by her touching the hem of her garment. But then the greatest gift Jesus could give her comes, not just the stopping of the flow of blood and the hope that she would be restored to the people, but he says these words, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the only recorded instance in Scripture where Jesus refers to a woman as daughter. God says to her, "Daughter." We shouldn't glance past that because that is so significant. This woman came to him in faith. Her faith caused her this glimmer of hope to venture out where she shouldn't have gone, to touch the one she shouldn't have touched, but the one that she believed could heal her. And his response is, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." She wanted to be healed and go away. He said, "Not enough. I want to hear you make a statement. I want to hear you proclaim that you came to me out of your faith. Because you are my daughter. And I want people to know that you came to me in faith and you are my daughter because you did that. Because it is when you come to me in faith that you become a part of my family." And that is where the greatest hope lies. Not in the physical healing, not in the mental soothing, but in this hope of becoming a child of God. She didn't know that that was the ultimate blessing that she was getting, but it is the one that he pours out to her at the very end. "Your faith has made you well. Now go in peace." And by the way, I want to remind you that word peace, shalom, doesn't just mean an absence of strife. It means harmony with God. With no God, there is no peace. But in this new kinship relationship, not only is she healed physically, but she has peace with God and can go out into the world recognized as a daughter of the King. We have so much going on in this world right now. We have so many things to be afraid of. Afraid of our physical health, afraid of our financial health, afraid of what can happen to our possessions, to our environment, to those that we love. There's so much uncertainty. There's so many things that are dragging us down into this abyss of fear and hopelessness. And yet Jesus is this ultimate ray of hope. He is the one who stands above the fray and invites us to come to him in faith and in hope. In fact, I want to read to you from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." We need hope right now, with so many things weighing us down. We need the same sort of hope that so motivated this woman to come out of isolation, to come out of seclusion, to press through the crowds to reach Jesus because she believed that he was the answer. Well, I tell you, he is the same answer today for us. Yes, there is salvation and forgiveness of our sins, but that translates into real hope for whatever we face today. Whether it be a surgery of a child, whether it be a storm coming up the coast, whether it be this global pandemic virus with unknown ends and unknown consequences, whether it be racial injustice tearing through our communities and finally being addressed at what cost we don't yet know. Whatever it is that is causing the darkness to pull us down, Jesus is that hope. If we have faith, we will persevere in the midst of our trials and our tribulations because we can trust in the one who came to save us. God put that word on my heart this morning, and I want to leave it with you. We get into the most trouble when we rely on ourselves. We need to rely on the one who created us, the one who sent his son to die for us, the one who promised to never leave us nor forsake us. There is no other hope for us than but through him. So put your trust in him, put your faith in him. Let him be that shining ray of hope that we all hold on to and point others to. He saved a woman from the depths of despair 2,000 years ago. And he can do the same for each and every one of us this day and forevermore. So, I say to you, no matter what it is that you are facing, if you come to Christ today, just know this, that your faith has healed you so that you too can go in peace. May we trust in those words now and forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we know that the world will always be in turmoil. We know that our lives will always face challenges. We know that there will always be sin in our hearts, and there will always be those seeking to do us harm. But Father, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that you are the ultimate judge, and we know that you have promised us rest in you. So, Father, help us to surrender ourselves completely to you this day. Help us to come before you, pressing through the crowds if necessary, so that we can just touch even the hem of your garment, knowing that you will restore us. For those that don't yet know you, Lord, I pray that they will come to see you, that their hearts would be softened, that they would be made alive in you, and that they would cherish the hope that you bring to them as well. Father, this is your world. This is your creation. And we just pray that you will do that which is best for us, and that you will restore us, and that you will be glorified in and through it all. And we pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.